about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this February the 2nd on the West Coast, now February the 3rd on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. I'm happy to have you with us, and we'd also like to welcome those listening on Wind Talkers Radio Network, blogtalkradio.com, and on the BBS Radio phone bridge. In case you missed that last night, we started using the phone bridge on Evident Footprints for the first time, and I actually got some very high compliments that I have to pay forward to Don and Doug Newsom at BBS Radio. And Seth, the remarks generally were, it was as clear as a bell. It was like we were inside your head, and that's the idea. We're trying to get inside your head and push out the stuff that's been shoved down your throat, in between the ears, and everywhere else they can sneak it in. We have a great show lined up for you tonight, and before we bring on tonight's guest, I just want to review something that came my way, as email often does, when you get it. It's kind of neat to read it when you get it. When you don't get it, you don't even know it's not there or supposed to be there. So this comes from a dear friend who thought that we should be thinking about some of the strange coincidences historically involving what I would call Planet Haiti, to tell you the truth, because it's being run like a planet over there in some other part of this galaxy. The friend says, I didn't write this, but here it is. How come no one has mentioned that over 80% of all Haitians are HIV positive? Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but that's certainly something to think about. And now they are bringing them here by the thousands. Healthcare costs will go through the roof for sure now. In the 1700s, what is now Haiti was called the Jewel of the Caribbean and supplied about 40% of the world's sugar. In 1791, the government of France passed legislation to phase out slavery in its Caribbean colonies and grant the former Negro slaves citizenship. Rather than becoming citizens, Haiti's Negro population mass-murdered all whites and mulattoes who could not flee the island in time. In 1804, only full-blooded Negroes remained, and Haiti became the first Negro-ruled nation. The Haitian Revolution dominated America's debate over slavery. While both the North and the South agreed that slavery should be ended, Southerners and a large percentage of Northerners universally opposed having a large population of freed slaves in their midst. The Haitian Revolution was fresh in everyone's mind. Fast forward to 1915. The Jewel of the Caribbean is now a desolate cesspool that is exporting almost no sugar. The United States decides to take up the white man's burden and send the U.S. Marine Corps to rebuild Haiti's infrastructure and feed its starving population. The United States gave huge amounts of money to Haiti and oversaw the building of 1,000 miles of road, telephone lines, modernized its port, and helped Haiti to start exporting sugar once again. The U.S. also put an end to the thousands of bandits along Haiti's border with the Dominican Republic. The U.S. left in 1934 at the request of the then-stabilized and very ungrateful Haitian government. Haiti immediately sank straight back into total desolation strife. In 1973, the United States once again began playing a huge role in Haiti, giving the island huge sums of money in handouts each year. In 1994, the Clinton administration once again sent the U.S. military to Haiti to rebuild the island's infrastructure. In 1995, the Peace Corps went to Haiti in large numbers to train the Haitians in job skills. The U.S. government spent almost $1 billion providing food and job training to the Haitians between 1995 and 1999. So when Obama says that Haiti has our, quote, full unwavering support, unquote, they have already had our full support since 1915. I guess those are some thoughts. I would have to research this, but it sounds and has the ring of truth to it. So it's something for us to consider when we view what's going on in Haiti today. With that, I'd like to bring on tonight's guest. He has been on Evident Footprints a few times already and will continue to be a guest on this show as long as the information keeps coming forward that everyone is responding to so positively. He's a frequent guest on many well-known talk radio shows, both on the regular airwaves as well as internet, and a frequent guest of Dr. H. Huat on the story behind the story. Our good friend, chemtrail opposition researcher, Dr. Mike Castle. Dr. Mike, welcome to the show.
Well, hello, Don. Good evening. I'm glad to be on your show. I always am. I was always excited about it because you can talk to such a different level of intelligence and people. Well, like on where I live in the Eastern time zone, if you're up that late, you know, well, you must have something going for you in the right direction, or you wouldn't be listening to people like you and me at an unbelievable hour. But see, there's where the information lies, right? You got to be a night owl. You got to be a night owl sometimes. Well, you're a night owl all the time.
In some places where the show is airing, it's actually the afternoon right now. So
okay, well.
We're heard around the world.
Well, good. Good. I just know that you get into some places that I haven't even heard of before, let alone wondering where they're at. So that's good. I'm looking forward to it. You know, the thing that you said about Haiti, I guess it stopped short in the thing that we found that has unfolded there. And I know a lot of the U.S. military listens to this broadcast as well. I don't mean to step on anybody's toes that doesn't deserve it, but let me tell you, I know for a fact that there's some truth to what Hugo Chavez says about there being the use of tectonic weapons used on that island, in fact, to do what in fact occurred. And that has been on the radar of this New World Order group for a long time. Just look at it. Look at the uranium, the gold, and not let alone the oil that is under that particular type of reef section of that part of the Caribbean. It's just unbelievable that the riches are there, but that populace that you spoke of had no capability of actually pursuing it. And you just wonder why that's not been pursued with some thought before of taking those type of things. So what's taking place there now, it's the actually transport and the taking of all the spoils as if the nation was at some sort of war or something. And this is the spoil of takeovers, which includes anything that has any value. And the value there, in fact, remains in its deposits of riches of gold and silver and uranium and plutonium, or platinum, I'm sorry, not plutonium. But, you know, some of the richest precious metals that there are, they're all there. And they're going to be taken, and it's our government and our military that, in fact, is right in front of what is going on. And the rest of the entire world knows this.
Yes.
And here's Hugo Chavez saying, this is what they're doing. They used a military tectonic plate weapon. He said that the day after it occurred. And if you remember, was I on your show that I said, I got a report from China. They're talking about a submarine in a very, very large, deep abyss on the south and the eastern flank of that island. And you looked at it. I sent you the map.
Yes. In fact, that was the last time you were on the show.
And that is, in fact, the perfect positioning trajectory for the use of that tectonic acoustical weapon. I didn't say that. Hugo Chavez did.
Yes. Well, we have a mirror event that's been occurring off the coast of California, but as far away to the Solomon Islands as well, which hasn't been reported very much in the media at all. Of course, the alternative media has paid attention to it, and several intuitives have actually focused on those events. One who has been on this show before, Z.S. Livingstone, has actually picked up basically the same information that others of us, including myself, are picking up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's quite evident that that this is planned. You know, it's sort of like an endless tape loop. And which event is this we're watching? Is this 9/11? Is this Iraq? Is this Afghanistan? Over and over, same event.
Is this the extermination of the Western Samoas and their population, or possibly Guam or the Philippines even? And maybe the Chinese do it this time. They send their military in. They take everything that's there, including all the human life that's there, and it just goes like that tape around the world. Which
yes.
one are we watching?
Yes.
Yeah, I seen that on the quake on the Western Samoas was 6.7. Then I seen that, well, we had one in Oklahoma again, and we had all up and down the coast, and it's just amazing how they're ringleting around the bay and the valley itself with many quakes, most of them 2.9, 3.0, there was a couple 3.1s, and then also down at the Tyne in the fork of the Baja California, right there, they were like stacked up on top of each other. There's been so many of them, and many of them in the 3 to 4.2 magnitude range. And I told you, they in fact have targeted that particular section of the tectonic plate because that's where it in fact can reach maximum shift. When you reach that maximum shift, everything goes southwesterly from that point.
Now, what would you discern the purpose of that is? I don't mean the shift. I mean the reason for this being done.
Well, let's see. How many answers can I get?
Well, I'll give you 10 to start.
Okay, you do it. you could pick any number of reasons, but you know, I've been watching and tracking this for quite some time. I think the last show I was on, we talked about this quite extensively.
Mm-hmm.
But I also know that there's something that we now are aware of, and I won't take credit for it. I'll just, in fact, say that I know that it works. There's something called building up the, or actually enhancing the magnetic cohesiveness of rock stratum. Now, I put that all together because it does make more than logical sense, and if I knew how to do all them sophisticated mathematics, I could probably give you a relatively good equation on it, but that's not necessary.
Mm-hmm.
What's necessary is knowing that these do, in fact, quell a lot of this and do deflect these incoming electromagnetic as well as acoustical impulses, if you will, coming from all different types of trajectory and very varying types of directions. In the case of the ones that we're talking about along the entire California coast, most of that originates up in Canada, deep inside Canada, bordering with all those tiers of states up there, including over into Montana until you get to Yellowstone. They, in fact, are able to virtually move any of these types of plates that they want ever so slightly, and we know they are because they occur on a grid. Oh, yeah, like Mother Nature does everything on a grid? I don't think so. But all up and down the coast of California, all the way down through Baja, and they can move these things like sections at a time. You know, I mean, all the way almost down to South America, then they stop. Then they'll go down there and shake things for a long time. So they can do this very universally throughout that plate, that great massive Pacific plate, and they call it the Ring of Fire, and they can do all other kinds of damage over in Guam and the Philippines it's just endless what they're doing. And why are they doing it? Well, I don't think we need to, in fact, even ask that question again, do we?
Yeah, well, it's there's definitely a pattern occurring here. In fact, all of this is usually preceded by a year or two of predictions, and I'll put that word in single quotes, that scientists are discovering that there's the inevitability of a major earthquake, and this is to validate the science that they create the quake, they create the event artificially, and then they say, see, we were right, but no one ever really pays attention to the fact that if they were so good at predicting it and their science was so great, wouldn't they be able to stop it?
Or cause it.
well, I'm alluding to the fact that they're causing it. That's the whole
point. Certainly.
You know,
but I think somewhere in there, I think the real Mother Nature has got a really big one coming on. I really do. I think it's going to be the El Grande of all rebellion as far as Earth is concerned. And if that happens, it will make this look like matchsticks.
Yes, I've had recent conversations over the past week, really.
No, that's just my opinion, okay?
Yeah, yeah. We've discussed the fact that nature herself, and I think I discussed this last night with Dr. A. Truott, nature herself is going to take care of business regardless of what they plan. There's only so much that a higher intelligence will put up with, you know?
Yes.
And certainly the planet is consummately and infinitely more intelligent than the whole mass of society and all the living creatures living upon it, or wouldn't be able to exist and withstand the abuse and punishment that it's withstood for billions of years.
Well, nature is also a part of its parcel. Nature is just those things you described.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just one single entity somewhere outside of God Almighty, the creator of all this, but that's not what we're actually describing. We're talking about the natural rhythm and cycle of this Earth with its life forms. That's what Earth is. And that nature is, in fact, something that you can't model, you can't sell it, you can't describe it normally, other than the fact that we are just, in fact, going at a blizzard's pace, in fact, of destroying everything that this planet actually has, including its breathable air column, its atmosphere. That's all been industrialized, weaponized, poisoned. And in fact, just breathing, in fact, is going to be your downfall. It's going to be your demise, just breathing. But you see, it's not just humans I'm talking about. I'm talking about everything that lives on this planet is being slowly poisoned. And Donna made that really clear. But see, it's time to fast forward. By the way, that was one of my favorite phrases back in the 90s. You know, I thought, hey, yeah, let's fast forward this. Fast forward it to now. What needs to happen is they need to stop. However that, in fact, happens, I'm not certain. I was hoping that they would, in fact, maybe the checks that they were getting for these big federally approved contractors, maybe the checks would bounce and these guys would decide they ain't going to fly more until they pay us some more money to fly these missions, to spray these trails, to spray these poisons, to the viruses, the contagions, just all of that ugly chemistry of wizards and demons, and it's just the most natural thing. It's the antithesis of what is in fact natural or nature. It's exactly opposite, and that's what they do hate. They hate anything that God has created.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's a frequent theme of mine, definitely. And you know, there's a little bit of irony here. You know, discussing the issue of a fiat currency and a usury credit system run by a central bank, and we could use the Federal Reserve as an example, they make money out of thin air. And
well, actually, they make
that's
it
not
out of,
fun. They're, the air is pretty thin.
They make it out of really bad paper and a bunch of ink. It's got chemicals in it and stuff. But yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that. I mean, the air quality is not that good. If you're correct, and most of us can see that with our own eyes and smell it with our nose, and certainly feel the effects of the air quality in our lungs. Take a picture of any major city. Los Angeles isn't alone in their smog, by the way. If you've ever been to Phoenix during the chemtrailing, you mm-hmm. can't see your hand in front of your face.
No, I know I have. Been to Mesa many a times, watching yeah. them and just in disgust, you know. I've been in a lot of places, and there's nowhere you can go. There's nowhere you can go that you can't escape the chemtrails. But I did go to Japan in 2003, and I will have to say that I did not see chemtrails while I was there. It said that they have them, but I didn't see them while I was there. As a matter of fact, I thought Japan, the island of Osaka, that was one of the most magnificent, beautiful places I've ever been in my life. The most green place I've ever been in my life, if I can use that terminology. It was. It was just beautiful. Everything was beautiful. They don't have front yards and, well, they got front yards and side yards, but they plant rice paddies all around their house and they farm in it. I'm just in such honor of these people in the way that they've masterfully been able to in fact, habitate with nature itself. It is just amazing. Anyways, I didn't mean to take you off on a tangent there, but I wanted to put a good word in for Japan. I just love that island and what I've seen of the culture and the people. And can I say my hat's off to them? And I don't even wear a hat on. So.
Well, that's why it's off.
Well, I wear a beanie sometimes. But.
Well, I've been to many places in the world that are like what you're describing, maybe minus the rice paddies, but certainly, you know, the mountains of Switzerland are very beautiful, and certain parts of Italy and even Germany. There are beautiful places around the world. But certainly with what's been going on, it's been many years since I've been to some of those places. I'm certain that they've changed in light of what has been going on for the past 15, 20 years in terms of chemtrail spraying and the after effects of spraying the planet with depleted uranium under the guise of fighting terrorism and bringing forth democracy. You know, this is, again, I'm going to repeat a theme that was recurring last night throughout my talk with Dr. Ott, and that this is all insanity.
It defines the word.
Yeah. And yet, you know, I don't want to fearmonger. My intention is to point these things out so that people recognize what is going on and you know, we take some responsibility for changing it. It doesn't have to end according to their plan.
Exactly. Exactly. I'll take 10 pounds of that there. Yeah, I'll take that's exactly right. It's not going to happen the way that they want it to. See, we're altering that pathway, Don. That's what's important is these minds out here, and listen, there's millions of us. We've got this mindset, and it's not embedded in the matrix anymore. It's not mm-hmm. in the matrix. And that's what we have to do is to just coax people gently if you have to. Get a little bit more rude about it after a while, but nobody needs rudeness, not in this world. There's enough horrible violence to go around everywhere you go, so there's no need for that. But what is needed is to gently coax people away from the matrix and just tell them to look, but warn them first that it's going to shock them. It might change and alter their beliefs in what we know is reality in our world here. I know it did mine once all these things started coalescing in front of me. All these pieces and I didn't in fact have those pieces back when I started my investigation into the chemtrails debacle back in 1999. Mm-hmm. And what I seen was things that I didn't want to believe what I was finding, But at the same time, I couldn't get even more, I can't say it, well, there's no magnitude of word to describe it, but you get that lone sinking feeling in your stomach that all this, in fact, is going on, and all these people know it, but they won't listen to what you're saying. They won't, in fact, heed your warning to stop this. They won't listen to anything that we've got to say, but see, we just keep saying the same thing. We want them to stop. And it just the chemtrails is the largest portion of their plan to, in fact, create a soul-standing magnetosphere around this planet, which is not the same as the one that we had when we were born. They, in fact, are going to modify the atmosphere to a point where it will be unfit for humans and most other life forms to live in. And, Don, I just want to implore into people, that is the stark reality of that comment. That's exactly what they're doing, and I'm not the only one saying this. But what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Well, now, I've been working on that, and so have you.
Yeah, you described your beliefs, okay? And that word registers with me. In fact, you said it, I think, three times. Let's go back and listen to the archive first before we proceed. No, it's
it's your show.
once you... Okay, let's do that. Would you play that? Would you say at the point where you learned the truth, or certainly you discovered something quite different from your belief, that you moved into knowledge, did you discard that belief at that point?
Which one?
Well, any of them, particularly, you know, the reality
that this is going on. I see your question. Yeah, when I first moved into that area of... More sublimation on my part. In other words, I was willing to give on some of my principles, and I'll tell you when that occurred. When I got a hold of my own U.S. Congressman representative office, and I try to, in fact, talk moderation and just plain straightforward English into this entire debacle. What's going on? Try to explain it to someone. That person's name, he was a legislative assistant here in D.C. for Patrick Teaberry, Congressman Teaberry. And Jason Dominguez, in fact, took me, oh, yes, Mr. Castle, you're absolutely right. And, oh, man, I sent him a copy of the Unified Atmospheric Preservation Act, which is a law designed to, in fact, stop this insanity by law, written by the people. That's still there. That's still in place. Well, Dominguez called me back the very next day, and then I never got to talk to him again. I got an email from him wanting to know what he was going to do. He was going to take this to Teaberry himself personally and inform him and probably, in fact, get me on a plane and come up there and in fact, lay this down. Well, I won't get on a plane. I still won't get on a plane, and I'm a pilot. But at the same time, I get an email that very next day from Jason Dominguez, the legislative assistant, saying that, well, Mr. Castle, we just don't believe you. We've taken our own poll and survey here amongst our office staff and people in here, and I don't know, the janitor, I don't know who else, and we just don't believe you, and we contacted the U.S. Air Force, in fact, and they said that what you're saying is a hoax. A chemtrails is a hoax. I wrote him a note back, and I didn't cuss nor swear, but I kind of wished I had it at the time. It would have felt a lot better. But I just wrote him a very civil letter, and I, in fact, informed him that one of these days, Mr. Dominguez, I said, your day will come. And it's the day, that, in fact, that you, in fact, get your warrant and your indictment on charges of racketeering, for one, and the murder of, well, whatever the count will be at the time that you get your indictment, as a direct result of what I, in fact, put in front of you. Never heard another word from Mr. Dominguez. But I understand he got out of Washington, D.C., and now he's back here in Columbus. So I'm not after him. but I just want to make certain that he understands I wasn't offering him a proposition. I was making a demand. Don, that's the day that I realized that this whole thing was backwards. That's the day that I recognized that there's things, most of them are politicians, but the majority of them, in fact, whether either Democrats or Republicans. And that's when I went into the fold of finding out, as Dr. Ott says, the rest of the story, but actually it's the story behind the story. And I found out that that's exactly how this whole thing coalesced together when I put the abductees of ETs and, in fact, put that entire thing, which was once called Star Children. And I wrote that in my Reversing Systemic Origins paper, and I'm staying on that one, by the way. I know that that's a major player in this, and you and I kind of joke about it, but so do millions of other people about these are like reptoids and serpents and snakes. And, you know, that's exactly the basis of their existence. Part of them are those, and they are infested in our military. All the agencies of this United States, in fact, at the top echelon, you have these beings. I won't call them human beings anymore, because humans, in fact, have a heart. These suckers, they have no heart. Matter of fact, they don't even have a soul. They are demonically possessed in the position of having a spirit. So I'm going to stay on that because I know that that's how formidable these beings are. And they're everywhere. And they morph. You and I were joking about, because of so many, I just seen another one, Don, tonight. Sandra
on
Bullock. They took a picture of her morphing.
Who was that now?
Sandra Bullock. on the Emmy or Grammys, whatever kind of award they were giving themselves. And just look at her. She's, in fact, serpentine. There is a perfect serpentine face. And it's getting ready to morph.
Yeah.
No,
we,
I didn't mean to go on endlessly about that. But
no.
Did I answer your question? That's the time when this all started to coalesce.
Now, there are some listeners out there that are thinking, well, I guess I like reptilians. You know, because I like Sandra Bullock.
Well, good. Maybe they like the kind of food they eat, too. I don't know. Bugs and stuff.
Well, it's quite obvious that the media has been infiltrated. We talked about that on last night's show. I was watching something on the Sunday morning CBS news program. And, oh, my God. The political mouthpieces, especially. I mean, They did tight shots. They did these zoomed in close ups of their face, almost as if they were just focusing on their eyes. And I saw the same individual on another snippet, we'll say, on a cameo piece about New Orleans, and the eyes went from yesterday being sort of a steel blue gray with black slits to dark brown. It's amazing. I guess we shouldn't be paying attention to this, should we?
Either that or they got designer contacts that we don't know about.
Yeah, they sell some of those at the gas stations, too. You know?
They can make your eyes look like perfect slits of serpents, you know? Oh, really?
Yeah, it's actually a fashion statement. But
yeah, it's a fashion statement.
Who thinks these things up, you know?
get together and do a little writhing, you know?
No, I don't know of any video software other than layering special effects like they do in the movies that someone would get basically by recording a satellite signal on their TiVo and then making a flash video of it. Certainly, the people that have been studying these things and posting them on YouTube and Google Video and other places as well are not intent on manipulating the masses. Now, that doesn't mean that that the intelligence agencies aren't playing the game, too, just to see how ridiculous they can be with this whole thing. You can see it with your regular eyes. You don't need to watch a video of somebody. You can see it in person,
too. I've seen it in person. Have you?
Yes, absolutely.
I've seen it in person because I know that they in fact, couldn't carry something out like that if it was just coming from the Matrix somewhere, like a TV or something like a video. That could be manipulated, but you can't manipulate it when you see it in front of your own eyes. You just, you know, it's kind of creepy the first time, and you don't know what to say.
Mm-hmm. Now, I spoke with a friend today that reminded me of something that was written not too long ago, describing how other entities or other beings on this planet actually shapeshift naturally. And some are in the microscopic world of aquatic creatures. Take, for example, Paramecium. They have the ability to shapeshift. But it's used for a different purpose, I'm sure. Certainly not intending to trick people into thinking they're people, you know, if you get my meaning.
But right then I was just thinking of some kind of mollusk or whatever that's about 2 inches wide and then all of a sudden deciding it's going to shapeshift into a size 6, you know, something like that. Maybe it was a woman shapeshifter. Mollusk.
And then, you know, the permeation, and of course this is the condition and the great fear of the consciousness of people, either through superstition or what they like to say is old wives' tale. There is such an emphasis put on shapeshifting in movies. All the different creatures, whether it's Dracula or the Wolfman. You know, Superman was a shapeshifter, you know, if you think
right.
about it.
Yeah.
And so was Spider-Man and all these cartoon characters that they create.
Well, remember the first time you seen that when Wolfman, you know, the old original Wolfman, you know, with his mom in that cemetery, the Talbots. Remember the first time you seen that, you know, the hair growing out and his jaw getting long. That was just creepy, wasn't it? That was the first time I ever seen shapeshifting. You're absolutely right. I never thought about it that like that. That's exactly right.
Yeah, and I'm not saying certainly, you know, these movies are made to condition us to think that these things only occur in the movies. And yet, how often do we see things that happen in the movies that turn around and happen within months? The Lone Gunman, the Fox serial movie that showed a matter of months before 9/11. The premise of the story was to fly airplanes into the World Trade Center. They made a movie about that. And then it happened. Now, you're going to blame that on some camel jockeys in Afghanistan hiding in caves? You know, they didn't make the movie. They didn't design the movie, and I doubt that they saw it.
No, but they paid them lots of money.
Yeah.
Before they died, so.
Well, you know, we're being mind controlled. We're being conditioned to accept a reality which is not a reality. And certainly, you know, all these things that we're talking about, we have proof that these things are going on.
Right.
And yet, it's denied. The government itself is in denial, along with the people that refuse to see it. So we have all these people that are in denial. How do we progress and achieve some creative and positive result or positive outcome of all this insanity and all this chaos?
Well, you know, I just keep wanting to talk about what I've done because really isn't that all we can do. I've actually cautioned people about them joining organizations and let's group together and let's, you know, go to this meeting and sign and go all the, you don't do that right now, because they're masterful at targeting people. When you get into sign-ups, organizations of various types, and all these Tea Party goers, and bless their hearts, you know, I love every one of them for what they're doing, that I know that they're doing and protesting against, but the Matrix sure has a way of putting a fizzle in them whenever they want to, it seems like. But I really believe, Don, that there's so many people out there that are looking for ways of fighting against this, and all I want to do is say, yes, you can fight against this. You can battle against this. But it's so big, don't take the time to wrap your mind around the whole thing before you do something, because I assure you it will be too late if you do that. And I start with just telling them everything that they've been trained virtually throughout their life. If they were born in 1920-something, you were trained from that point on, all the way up to the modern day, by the same group of entities, the same philosophy, this almost religion that in fact has grown throughout our entire culture systemically throughout these hundreds of years. And, you know, I can't say thousands of years, but this thing has been around for that long. It's been around for a long, long time. And this is still the same thing. We don't need to fool ourselves about who we think that is. There's where you can pop yourself out of that denial glue, if you will, away from the Matrix, if you just accept the fact that this is what it is, and everything in the Matrix, in fact, is going to turn you against, in fact, dissenting against any of this, complaining about it. You know, just stay in the Matrix and you'll be okay. They will kill us all if we are in the Matrix.
Yeah,
if we're not in the Matrix, in fact, we can take some of these things that are just very simple things. They're everyday things, like what are you eating there? What are you eating there? Oh, it's got MSG in it? Well, something that maybe no one knows, but I've done some work on this. I know that MSG is in virtually all processed foods for just a plethora of reasons. But one of them that is not known is the fact that it is interruptive in the body's own ability to, in fact, to utilize things at the neuron level called cholinesterase. Cholinesterase comes from your spinal fluid. And, in fact, it's the firing fluid of your neurons alone. Well, MSG has a way of attenuating that process completely and implanting itself throughout the body, in your bloodstream, in the brain, besides being a neurotoxin. Oh, by the way, meat MSG is first a meat tenderizer. Don't ever forget that. But it's in everything. Well, when they use this ELF system and with embedded frequency modulated into the carrier side of it, in the microwave region, that extreme low frequency and the microwave combine coming out of these Gwen towers, yeah, it'll change your mind. You don't have a choice about it. But it also is enhanced. That signal is actually enhanced because of that monosodium glutamate that's in your bloodstream, and it's in your brain. So it actually works to enhance and amplify those signals, if you want to call them signals. I call them, well, it doesn't matter what I call them. I just know that I can't see them, but I already know how to deflect them because I know where the frequency range is at.
And yeah, I was going to call them frequencies. In fact, I think you're alluding to an attack of the nervous system as well.
That's exactly because, what it is. Certainly.
Yeah. Now, the average person associates MSG, those that have heard about it, with Chinese food, but it's not something exclusive to Chinese food by any means.
Right.
And they call it a flavor enhancer. Isn't it interesting that if we're eating something that's good for us, it should have a natural flavor, shouldn't it? Should have its own unique flavor, and that doesn't have to be created in a chemistry lab. And you know, my research even into the CIA has revealed a number of chemists that were part of the CIA and were working for the food companies, developing processes to put all these unnecessary ingredients into foods. This was a concerted effort for a long time. And, you know, going back to the time of World War II, even before that, we can probably go back to the early 1920s and trace this. I'm certain of that.
No, these snakes have been at this a long time. You're absolutely right, Don. And it does go back to there because that's when Big Ag, all that, in fact, had its kindling back in the just after the Great Depression, and then in those farmlands and all that. But that's just about the emergence of big agriculture and the foods we eat, and which goes along with the nutrition that's in that food, which is totally replete of food today. They specifically engineer that out. It goes a long ways, but again, they only started with the brain. With the genetically mutated organisms, they in fact have now full capability of destroying all the natural microfolia in your own bowels and your intestines. Without those folks, you do not get nutrients into your body. Without nutrients, you're going to be in bad shape. But they are able, in fact, to cleave and, in fact, genetically cleave and change your own DNA, and, in fact, at the level where it causes mutation, and actually rogue bacterium, in fact, are going to set up residences in your bowels. Those have got nothing to do with you living or eating food to get nutrition. They, in fact, make certain that you don't get it. But that's what you're in, and your bowels, in fact, will be coated with what looks like a film of plastic. And if you eat just standard everyday food, I am not calling you, just take the local strip, Arby's, Burger King, Burger Chef's, you know, Taco Bell, and the Partridge in a Pear Tree. Everybody's got one of those strips right off the interstate. And you go down there and eat damn burger. Yeah, sure, I do too. Every once in a while I have a Big Mac attack, you know, and that's every really once in a rare while, but hey, I pay for it. I come home and you wouldn't believe the charcoal I eat that day. But that's the only way to get rid of it, because it takes that plastic liner out, you know. But just charcoal, just, you know, Joyce Riley has a bunch of those people, and one that she sells is that can of charcoal, and it's made from hardwood charcoal in the Carolinas somewhere. And it's top quality, top grade, and I've found all kinds of things you can do with that, but I love it. But I don't burn it. I buy the powder and put it in a glass myself and drink it sometimes. Put it in a dark cobalt blue coffee mug, which is the color of my coffee mug. And I put it in water in there, and I put a little bit of maple syrup in it. Hey, I just drink that. And the reason I put it in a dark coffee mug is, you know what it's like trying to drink a black glass of water? It's hard.
I haven't done that since the last time I ordered water at a Holiday Inn many, many years ago.
I believe that. Anyways, all these things are in our midst, and they're all designed to do one thing. What, fill you up? Oh, make you hungry again next time? They put out a wave Friday night. I wonder why everybody just decided they want to eat pizza on Friday nights. Well, it's in the air, folks, and you can't escape it, you know. But see, they can trigger cravings with those same frequency waveforms, and they do this exclusively with MSG in many cases, because it triggers a certain level of impulse in your brain that in fact tells you, you know, whatever that crave might be. Oh, you want to, you know, just how about a nice sour pickle right now? See, but that, if it sets off that trigger, if you go probing to see if you got them, you know, we all probe in the refrigerator, but we're sitting here, probe on something that you can eat, popcorn or something like that. Well, but they enable us to make our own decisions. But they plaster all these pepperoni filled pizzas on TV and show people taking that first bite off that tip, you know, I wonder how many people have really, really scalded their mouth when they took that first bite making a commercial, and you can't get it out, you know, it burns the entire roof of your mouth. But see, that's what impulses, that those crave impulses are triggered by a frequency waveform. People, it's called marketing. Subliminal marketing, and we're all victims. Until you find a way to block that from your area, I mean, where you're at, then you won't get them. But otherwise, well, they didn't ask you if they could do this, but they just do it. So that's just one other benefit of consuming MSG, and it's in everything. You know how many years I've tried to get Skyline Chili? We have Skyline Chili here, and I still do love, but I won't eat them anymore. I love Skyline Chili's five-way chili with hot sauce on it. Just really love the stuff. Boy, just I can really mow on that. But I quit going there because I found out how much MSG they put in there, and they won't take it out. I've even tried to suggest some things that I know can substantially replace it, and Don, it's nothing more than finely cut up celery leaf, dried out, and then you put swishes, or then you put lime juice on it, and let that dry. Just let it dry. You let it dry and scrape it up, it's kind of flaky and everything, and you put that on anything that you put MSG on, and including in spaghettis and other soup, it doesn't taste like celery. It, in fact, makes it sort of salty. But there's no salt in it. It's just lime juice, dried up lime juice, and you still get that tang in there, and celery. Now, celery's got this property because it's so naturally full of sodium that it, in fact, and it does. It is very, very high in its sodium content. But that doesn't really say anything other than the fact that celery leaf, in fact, is an excellent meat tenderizer, if you still eat meat. It's a meat tenderizer. But then when you add that to lime juice, there's other enzymes that, in fact, are available when you cook the meat that are now flavoring it with things that flavor that you couldn't get from anything. It actually enhances the flavor. Well, isn't that what MSG does? Enhances the flavor? That's exactly what that little two-component thing I just told you about does the same exact way. Try to get Skyline Chili to listen to me about that. I don't mean for your program to take a spot for that, but I don't know. Do you like? You ever heard of Skyline?
Oh, yeah, sure.
That's Cincinnati Chili. I've always been in love with it, but daggone it, they won't take that poison out of their food, so I just don't go. See, I've got that choice, like everybody.
Years ago, we used to have a comedy club in the Union Terminal, and they had a Skyline Chili outlet inside the terminal. And I'm familiar with what you're describing.
Yeah.
You could get chili one way, two way, three way, four way, five way. That's how they eat it there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's I made something here myself that, in fact, that proved to me that there's virtually no difference in the flavors of what I made, and because I make it the way they make it with a couple of different herbs in the chili itself. They put some, well, what most people would, in fact, never put with meat, but they do. And it just makes it very flavorful. But be it as it may, I know that it's equal par with flavor, and the only thing that wasn't equal on par is my hot sauce and what I get there at Skyline Chili. They got the hottest, best sauce I've ever seen. If they didn't have that sauce, I don't think I'd eat Skyline, to be honest with you.
Yeah. And what you're describing, Dr. Mike, is...
I'm making you hungry, aren't I?
No, actually, you're not.
Oh, okay. Well, good.
Yeah. You say MSG, and that stops the hunger, you know. What I was going to say is you're describing over and over again an issue of frequency and these chemicals or these compounds that are created in laboratories are merely mimicking the frequency of a particular aroma or a particular flavor, and certainly used, at least in the beginning, they were used as cost-cutting techniques, ways to increase profitability, not just on the overconsumption of the product because of the addictions that result from ingesting these substances, but it seems to be alchemic or alchemical in nature, in that it's intended to produce a different result. In other words, they can mask what the compound or chemical is doing while advertising it as natural or new, fresh taste, or, you know, improved taste. They use those words a lot, don't they? New and improved.
New and improved, yes.
Yeah, like you have a new and improved fruit or a new and improved vegetable. And who would that have been created by? Monsanto?
Yes. And they have exclusive patents on it. And if you grow any other natural stuff around it, and we come over in your field and find out that you've got some of that strain in your, then we're going to take you to court and sue you and win, because farmers have all across the United States, because of corn and other produce and vegetables and agri-crop, stuff like that. Well, that shut down the independent. Well, so everybody started planting Monsanto's, what, Starlink 810? And that goes into all foodstuffs that, in fact, involve corn. And it goes into all high fructose corn syrups. It goes into all animal feeds. So the next time you buy a piece of meat and it said natural on it, oh, range fed? Oh, really? So anyways, you find out that that's not the truth, that it is in fact a confined feedlots animal. And in fact, they fed that the same DDGS, or the spit out from what's left over from the ethanol cooking production distillation plant. And in fact, that's what's in all feeds given to cows, pigs, chickens, and again, a partridge in a pear tree. It's in everything. But again, that's that poisonous, genetically mutated organism's ability to, in fact, co-mutate with living organisms, and one of them might be you. Even after you, in fact, feed it to cattle, and in fact, then you eat some of the cattle, it still has the capability of doing things that you never imagined, because the corn alone, Don, as we've talked about many a times, and maybe most out there know it, but possibly some don't, and this is for you. That corn secretes something called it's a registered pesticide, and it's called a glyphate. That is the same composition as then Roundup. You know, Roundup Ready? Well, mm-hmm. Because the corn, in fact, will secrete this particular azogenase of this biological form, will secrete that, and, well, bugs ain't going to eat that stuff. Well, animals don't readily eat it either. But then humans, hey, no problem. Hey, they said it wouldn't, there's nothing wrong with it. No, they obfuscated and hid and lied about every one of the results that, in fact, ever came to fruition about just how deadly poison this stuff is to humans and all other life forms that consume it. But be it as it may, we still have it, and that's the one thing that I want to see eradicated off the face of this earth, of anything called synthetic food. That's the best I can call any of that stuff that's raised under the auspices of a U.S. patent and owned by a corporation called Monsanto. They, in fact, are the most, they've been at it for such a long time, and they're involved in all this stuff. And, Don, it's nothing more than the most wicked behavior I've ever seen by any corporation in this entire world forever. I mean, they had nothing more than scruffy F crap pots like Rumsfeld himself. I mean, look at that man. That man, in fact, is a glowing example that reptilians still are on this planet and rule this world in some fashion. And he, in fact, was the former CEO of Monsanto and got all this stuff into our food by deception and hook and crook. And it's the same story over and over and over and over. Everything was obfuscated, but human beings across this planet have rejected, genetically mutated, but what's Monsanto doing? It's working the midnight oil to make sure that you eat genetically mutated wheat. And if any farmers are listening, plant wheat, my friends. Plant natural heirloom wheat, red wheat. Don't mess with this Monsanto stuff, because you're going to need it to bring it to local marketplaces so we can have it to eat, because we don't have any wheat left. We sold it all off to the international markets. We don't have any wheat left.
Yeah,
plant wheat,
right,
and plant oats, because, and Timothy, and there's so many good nutrients that are available in grains, but Don, they're not being planted. We've got to have these people, in fact, plant us food, not that synthetic stuff they call food coming from the patents of a corporation called Monsanto.
Yeah. You know, Dr. Mike, I anticipate the day when I'm going to be invited to a friend's house for dinner, and I'm going to say, wow, this is really good. What is this called? And they're going to respond with something like, I can't believe it's not food. That's the only thing they haven't invented yet.
And it's cornbread, right?
And if they do, I'm going to sue them, because that name came out on this show.
Oh, well, when you get invited to somebody else's place for dinner, they still call that potluck, don't they? You know, but it's something that you, in fact, have to be wary of, Don. I don't know how else to say it, because we can hardly eat out anywhere anymore, because everywhere you go, it's the same thing. The prepared mixes. You go to not a restaurant so much as a buffet, and there's lots of them, you know, and a lot of people like those, especially older people, because they sort of cater to them and everything. But there's so much MSG in just those foodstuffs, and anything that's got sweetness at all about it has aspartame or sucralose in it. And those, in fact, I just named off two class 3 poisons to you that will destroy your pancreas, send your blood pressure and your diabetes response to it to a point of almost going into shock, anaphylactic shock. Even insulin, even the most powerful insulin, barely bring it down. But they love going there. And I told even my dad, he's getting up in his years and he's in his mid-80s and stuff, and I said, you're just addicted to that food, Dad. And he says, well, I am. That's how much he loves it. But see, it's an addiction process, as you said before. That's exactly what it does. That addiction, they remember that. That flavor, they remember that. Just want some of that flavor. But it, in fact, just takes them backwards as far as their health and their well-being and being somewhat deflective mentally to some degree. But then don't we all suffer that a little bit, that little bit of like, mental, insobriety, can't remember anything. Yeah. It's the foods that we eat that causes that. It's not old age, people. It's not the old age is getting you. It's the foods we eat. But if we eat out, and I just know I got me a big old slug MSG. When I get back here, I dig out my melatonin. Because I heard Joyce Riley say that she heard from somebody who knows within the, whatever industry it is, but that done a very good job in sort of neutralizing the poisonous effects that MSG has on the body. And they're absolutely right. So she has these sublingual melatonin tablets that you just put underneath your tongue, and it dissolves away, about like a nitro pill. I've never taken a nitro pill, but that's what it looks like. And this is just melatonin. And what it does passivate the toxicity of that particular chemical, monosodium glutamate, and the neuron damaging effects that it has when it reaches the brain. And that's what it does. But remember, as I said, first, MSG is what? It's a meat tenderizer. It also inhibits some of the effects that it has on the tissues within the all the regions of the bowels and everything else, because it tenderizes them. I kid you not.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, I mean, all you have to do is think about it for a moment. You're tenderizing the meat, then you're ingesting the meat, you're ingesting the tenderizer.
Just because you eat it doesn't change the fact that it still tenderizes like Drano. It cleans wherever it goes.
Can you imagine that if the Beatles knew about that, they would have written, it's been a...
Oh, I'd like to hear a John Lennon song on that. Yeah, that would have been a good John Lennon song. He would have dug that. I like John Lennon. I liked his words. I liked the way he sang things. I grew up in that era. So did you.
Yeah.
And I never recognized exactly what he was saying until I got a whole lot older. And then I just thought, you know, John Lennon was on the right track. He was on the right track. He knew that he was going to, in fact, be gone one of these days, and it would be them that, in fact, would do it. And he was absolutely right. He knew. He foretold what was going to happen to him. And he done it in his song.
Yeah, well, they actually took care of several of the Beatles over time. That's a topic for another show. But
that is.
Well, we're about out of time, Dr. Mike.
Well, I was going to say, man, we just talk and talk and talk and talk.
Well, we've been all over the place.
I like it. I got a whole lot of other things to talk to you about. We never got to the orgone again, but that's okay. I just keep encouraging people to learn what we're saying about this. And maybe you don't have earthquakes where you're at, but I can tell you it will change the weather. I've already put my order in, Don. I told you that today. I'm getting the Marquesas, in fact, to warm up, and south of the equator, down along South America, west of that, and in fact bringing that warm air and warm waters currents up into the Gulf area of the United States, past Panama and up into the Gulf Basin. Guess what, folks? That's spring 2010. I want it to get here March the 15th. Now, the way I understand these bunch of weather modifiers and geoengineers want, they want this to make a really bad weather. It's going to stay here forever. It's going to get cold. No, we know how to, in fact, trim that off. We know how to passivate that just a little bit. And that's what I want to talk about the next time I talk on your show, Don. I want to teach people what I know about this very simple science. It's not even a science. Actually, it's an art. Just teach them about it. So,
I'd be happy to talk about that. In fact, I'll share also something with you when we do that, how I transmuted some adverse weather conditions not too long ago, actually. And I knew that we were about to experience some artificial weather, if you get my meaning.
Right.
And I suppose we could talk about the concept of our intention and applying it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Along those lines. Well,
yes.
We're out of time. I want to thank you for being on the show.
Thank you.
We can let the listening audience know that you will be on next Tuesday evening, as well, a week from today. And we'll be talking about orgone and weather patterns and all kinds of interesting things.
Well, listen, I appreciate you having me on, Don. I always enjoy it, my friend, and you have a good evening.
Okay, you too. Folks, you've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com and tonight's special guest, Dr. Mike Castle. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network and blogtalkradio.com for carrying Evident Footprints. And I'd like to thank Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible at bbsradio.com, Seth Hendrick on the sound, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join us again tomorrow night when we'll have another great guest for you. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.